This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 14, please. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now, if we remember last week's reading, Jonathan, unbeknownst to his father's ridiculous desire that nobody eat any food while they're about to go to war and go to battle, comes across some honey. He and his servant eat it. And his eyes were enlightened, his strength was returned, and Israel wins the day in this battle. And then lo and behold, Saul finds out what his boy has done, and Saul gets very upset with his son. Very upset. And we see at this point in Saul's career, everything has gone out of the window. His devotion to God, his sound mind and his sound reasoning goes out the window. Remember when he first begins during his, shortly after his coronation, certain people didn't bring him presents. In verses taken vengeance, King Saul just said, let it be, leave him alone. Let's just simply enjoy the day that God's given to us. He's ruling with a real cool head. Not now. He's lost all reason and all discernment. So let's pick up what happens after his son is discovered in disobeying daddy's ridiculous law. Verse 36. And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priests, let us draw near hither unto God. Excuse me. And Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him, not that day. So notice, God's silent with this man. Here Saul is doing the right thing, finally. But it seems to be too late. God's already told them, the kingdom is out of your hands. I'm seeking another king. Saul said, draw ye me hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin had been this day. Saul automatically assumes it's the sin of someone else who's causing the phone connection to be broken between him and heaven. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be Jonathan my son, at this point he's just assuming, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, now notice, do what seemeth good unto thee. That's the second time. These people have just resigned themselves, apparently, to his whimsical thinking. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. So now they're going to vote on the matter. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. So whatever process that they used, this process of elimination by maybe white stone and black stones being dropped in a bucket, who knows? It comes down to the king and the son. All the other people can go, oof, I kind of missed that bullet. Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. This man is out to lunch with his thinking. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who had wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he had wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless His Word. Now, you know that there are times and seasons when your pastor does get a little political. Would you agree that the way King Saul is thinking right now is no different than the way our current president thinks? I had to say it. It had to come out as I'm reading this. I'm looking at Saul in his reasoning faculties and his discernment and what he's bringing upon his people. Did you notice twice the people said, whatever seems right, do it, buddy? It's almost like the response America is given to Mr. Biden. Well, whatever your thoughts are today, go for it, because we're going to suffer in the end, no matter what you think or what you say or what you do. And I see almost a replica here with King Saul with our current administration. That's my political 2 cents worth. So what do we see here? Saul says, let's go down after the Philistines by night and let's just simply rout them. Let's just go in there and just take a spoil. And notice verse 36. Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. There's the first one. Then said the priest. Notice how the priests kind of have some common sense. How about we draw near to God? King Saul, before you go off and fly by the seat of your pants without really thinking and counting the cost, remember that principle, counting the cost? Why not draw near to God? And isn't it amazing that at times and seasons, Christians will draw nigh to God after everything blows up? We'll go off with our own thinking, our own reasoning. We'll fly by the seat of our pants without a map, without a mask, without a rudder. We know what to do, come hell or high water. Off we go. We hit the wall. It blows up. Then we draw nigh to God. I think the principle here that the priests are attempting to remind Saul is, why not touch base with God before you go down there and whoop up on the Philistines? How about you just simply do that? Okay, so Saul asks counsel of God. Shall I go down to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into our hand? And there, beloved, there's not even a busy signal from heaven. Nothing. Nothing at all. No static. No line, phone line, crackling. Nothing. And so Saul automatically draws the conclusion that it has to be some other person's fault. He's acting just like our father and our first mother. Adam, who told you were naked? Time out, Lord. The woman you made for me, she caused me to fall. Lady, what's your excuse? The serpent you made deceived me. And on and on and on it goes. Isn't it amazing that Saul doesn't look in the mirror and look at the reflection of himself, because he's the cause of that line being cut off? What did Samuel tell him in a previous chapter? You are gone as king. Connection's gone. Saul's going to be simply on borrowed time until David becomes well established. Well, lo and behold, notice his thinking in verse 39. As the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel. Now they did win the day. Though it be my son Jonathan, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Why? They knew it was hopeless reasoning with him at this time. At this point, no one wants to even reason with him. And he said unto all Israel, you're going to be on one side, me and my son will be on the other side of this line that I've drawn in the sand. And the people said, what? Do whatever you think. Can't reason with you, buddy. You're going to do what you're going to do. And they go through this lottery system or whatever voting system, whatever they used back then. And it came down to Saul and his son. Saul knew he didn't eat the honey. Jonathan now confesses and tells him what happened. Hey, I got my strength back. And Saul says, buddy, you're going to die. And then the people finally get enough gumption. Okay? In verse 45. And the people said unto the king, shall Jonathan die who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? It wasn't you. It was your boy. God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he had wrought with God this day. It wasn't you, Saul. It was your boy. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he did not die. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines. So apparently at this point, both armies basically go back to their respective camps. So there's somewhat of a truce between the Philistines and King Saul and his nation at this time. But notice what happens when a person doesn't have all their marbles in their box, doesn't have all the brain functions, has all the brain cells working properly. Notice at this point, from this point onward, as soon as Samuel tells him, you are no longer, you've lost your kingdom. From that point here, all the way to his death, Saul is going to make one blunder after another. He goes off to seek counsel with a witch. Remember that? He goes after David on this wild hunt, expending resources to kill but one man because of his envy and jealousy. King Saul's life at this point now is gone. The man that started off so well, so full of humility, that he was hiding behind the suitcases when they were trying to find him to anoint him. He was hiding. And when certain people didn't bring him gifts and presents, he was patient enough to say, let the will of the Lord be done. This is a day of rejoicing, not for vengeance. He had a cool head, but not now. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.